In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. Amen. We have what's called an Education for Ministry group here at Calvary, and we meet every week from September through June to explore. This year, we have a year one cohort exploring the Hebrew Bible, or what Christians call the Old Testament. And our first step today is to think about the nature of blessing. So the Education for Ministry group at Calvary spent last week exploring the nature of God's blessing. And we had a sense from what we've read in the text that people 2,800 years ago in Scripture understood God as a God not only who promised blessing, but a God who also gave and took away blessing based on one's allegiance to the covenant. And we've been reading challenging texts like Joshua and Judges. And the blessings for people 2,800 years ago seem to be tied up with a group's ability to win and to conquer. One person in the group commented, "It seems like not much has changed by how most of our world perceives God's blessings today." One thing we'll discover about the Gospel of Luke as we hear it in the coming weeks and months is that Luke highlights how Jesus turns the world's values upside down. Some people call Jesus' vision for the kingdom of heaven the upside down kingdom. So today we heard the Beatitudes from Jesus' sermon in the Gospel of Luke, the Sermon on the Plain. Many of us are more familiar with Matthew's interpretation of the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Luke's pronouncement of blessing is plain and straightforward. "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." In Luke's gospel, the disciples have just been up on a mountaintop praying. Jesus has chosen 12 of them, made them apostles, and my guess is they've got to be feeling pretty special. They've been on this life-altering retreat with Jesus, full, happy, favored. And that's when Jesus leads them down the mountain with him. And there are people around them everywhere. And they all are seeking healing, it seems. Everyone's reaching out to touch them, this great power emanating from them. And then Jesus starts to preach. And it's important to notice where Jesus starts to preach. Not high up alongside the mount, like he chose in Matthew, but instead from the plain, on the same level as all those people. He led them all to a level place and stood among them, with them. And then Jesus not only pronounces blessings like he did in the Sermon on the Mount, but he continues and pronounces a series of woes. "Blessed are you who are destitute, unfed, grieving, and expendable. And woe to you who are wealthy, full, carefree, and popular." What's the message in this gospel for Calvary Episcopal Church as we literally sit atop a hill today? It's tempting to start trying to explain this gospel away. Well, what exactly does Jesus mean by poor? And are we supposed to pursue poverty and hunger? Are we supposed to seek disdain from others? It's clear that Jesus is not prescribing this, because the Sermon on the Plain is bookended by several accounts of Jesus healing and feeding and alleviating suffering and pulling people up at every turn. It's important for us to realize that Jesus is not telling anyone here how to behave. Instead, Jesus is calling us to stand with him and others in the level place. Now, if we're honest, seeing things in the level place, eye to eye, can be a pretty uncomfortable experience, because our society does not affirm it. On the mount, atop a hill, is where most of us prefer to be. It's where we can see things on our terms, without anything getting in the way of our view. We assume it's the better view. It seems like a great place, the best place to be. But it's from a raised place that we can't help but realize that the view looks down. Down on those who haven't made it to our level. Down on those we really don't want up here with us. Down on those who we've decided haven't earned this level. What Jesus is doing in taking his newly ordained apostles to the level place is to expose and dispel their unconscious biases. How much of their perspective and ours has already been decided by society? Note how nonprofit groups, social impact groups, even we as church members sometimes describe people in certain groups. The people we serve through Interfaith Hospitality Network or Tender Mercies, for example, or people who live in certain places, in terms that we would hopefully never say to their face. Words I've been trained by my society to use are at risk, low income, disadvantaged. Trabian Shorters is an author who, like Jesus speaking on the plain, seeks to level the playing field by framing all people first and foremost through their assets, not their struggles. Shorters writes, "You can't lift people up by putting them down." Yet how easy is it for us to stay up in our comfortable places and unwittingly use language that serves to frame some whole groups in a lower place than we? Shorters offers this example of that kind of language. You'll hear groups say, "The at-risk, low-income minorities in high-crime, high-poverty, disadvantaged communities whom we seek to empower and transform have far more going on in their lives than our denigrating shorthand acknowledges." What if we started saying, instead of saying, "We are going down to the cathedral to feed homeless families," and we started to say something like, "We are meeting to share a meal with people working hard to improve their lives." What difference would that make? As commentator Debbie Thomas writes, quote, "Notice that Jesus doesn't offer four blessings to one audience and four woes to another. His sermon is not a sorting exercise between good folks and bad folks. He addresses every blessing and every woe to every person." As if to say, this is the human pattern. This is where all of us live. We move from blessing to woe over and over again in the course of our lives. We invite blessing every time we empty ourselves, find ourselves yearning for God. And we invite woe every time we retreat into smug and thoughtless self-satisfaction. End quote. Now, the concept of woe sounds like a punishment, doesn't it? When in fact, the pronouncement of woe is actually a warning. You lack nothing? Full and satisfied, are you? You are so well liked. It's certainly very easy when we're in a position like this to start living as though we don't really need God after all. We can go days without praying and seemingly be just fine. If we find ourselves in that category, Jesus urges us, proceed with caution. As Debbie Thomas continues, quote, when I am full of anything but God, God empties me. Not as punishment, but as grace. Not as condemnation, but as loving reorientation. When I am bereft, vulnerable, and empty in the world's eyes, God blesses me with a fullness of divine mercy and kindness. In other words, our God is a God of both comfort and challenge. And in the divine economy, we are, all of us, on one level. Blessed and woeful, saint and sinner, we occupy the plane of this beautiful and broken world together. End quote. So our education for ministry group here at Calvary started to consider what blessing looks like informed by our Christian faith in this time and place. Some of the revelations of the group are that they believe blessings happen when we are in contact one with another. God's presence is revealed through participating in God's economy of blessing, not just receiving blessing, but giving it. And by living in gratitude, even when our lives seem empty and we come hungry. Because when we live like this, God's blessings and warnings transform our lives. Jesus reveals to us today in the gospel that he meets us and stands with us when we are willing to meet him and others on the level plane. When we receive communion today, notice that we are meeting face to face. You are coming forward, receiving bread made holy on a level plane, not looking up or looking down, but face to face, shoulder to shoulder, as children of God. What a difference it makes that this is where Jesus wants us to be and asks us to be. Not on a hill looking down on others, not looking up in shame and feeling unworthy. It's the level plains that call out the proud and lift up the lowly, where we who are full become emptied so that there's room again for God, and we who are hungry are filled with good things. We are called not to simply care for others from high on the hill, but to meet others in the level places, searching for the blessings our fellow children of God possess, emptying ourselves and readying ourselves for those blessings in the process. Now, the view might feel a little more crowded and less clear on the plane, but it's there that Jesus says we can see most clearly the kingdom of God, God's beloved community. Amen.